Hello, my name is Roger Watson, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and welcome to the JAN podcast. These occasional podcasts will be a miscellany of my reflections on working as an Editor-in-Chief, some hot topics in academic publishing, and occasional contributions from guest editors. This is the JAN podcast of 14th of March 2015. Today I want to talk about the peer review system. In a previous podcast, where I covered what happens to your paper once it's submitted to the Journal of Advanced Nursing, I mentioned the peer review process, but I didn't go into it in any great detail. Here I want to explore it in some more detail and look at different types of peer review and different opinions about peer review. Essentially, there are three different kinds of peer review process: open, single-blind and double-blind. Open peer review is where the author and the reviewers both know each other's identity. Single-blind is usually operated such that the reviewer knows the identity of the author, and in a double-blind peer review system, neither the author nor the reviewers know each other's identity. At the Journal of Advanced Nursing, we use a double-blind peer review system. Some journals have now introduced triple-blinded review, where the editors don't know the identity of the authors and the reviewers, but this is quite new and probably quite unnecessary. In a double-blind peer review system, like the one we use at the Journal of Advanced Nursing, we use this to try and minimise bias towards authors and the possibility of any bad feeling towards reviewers who may not give a favourable review to a paper. And many people feel very safe with this kind of system. We feel it works well and we don't have any immediate plans to change it. In a single-blind peer review system, there is in fact a deliberate bias here, and the bias is such that the reviewer can tell if the author is likely to have had the resources and the expertise and the environment to do the work that's reported. This probably applies more to laboratory research than to other kinds of research. And in an open peer review system where both sides know the other, and this is operated, for example, by Biomed Central journals, both the author and the reviewer know each other, and in fact at BMC journals they publish the reviews. So it's a very open and a very transparent system, and each of these systems has its merits and its demerits. Now, the peer review system is not perfect. In the last decade there was a scandal called ClimateGate, where the peer review process in scientific journals came under scrutiny because of some biased review processes in papers dealing with global warming. And indeed, if you Google ClimateGate, you will come across a report that emanated from that particular incident. And the conclusion in the report was that the peer review system is not perfect. What it can do is it can point out obvious errors, it can point to unacceptable practices, these may be unethical or out-of-date practices, and it can also help editors to uncover malpractice, such as fabrication or falsification of results, plagiarism or duplication of already published work. And ClimateGate did lead to in the UK, a House of Commons Science and Technology Committee report in 2011, following quite an extensive inquiry, and they published a report called Peer Review in Scientific Publications. And their conclusion was, again, that the peer review process is not perfect, but it's as good as we have. So I think the peer review process is here to stay for many years. So that's what happens when your paper is submitted to a journal and goes for peer review at the Journal of Advanced Nursing. Your paper goes to reviewers who don't know you, and you will not know their identity either. But the editors know the identities of both and come to a conclusion based on the review, and based on several reviews in some cases. We use a minimum of two reviewers, and sometimes three if we require a statistical reviewer. There's no standard here, Some journals use one, some journals use many more. So we use a minimum of two and usually a maximum of three. If we use two reviewers, one will normally be an expert in the method and one will normally be an expert in the substantive area of the paper, which may be clinical. And just occasionally we will use other reviewers who are experts to give us a view if we are uncertain about certain aspects. For example, there may be pharmacological aspects to a paper which we just want to have checked before we get it published. We do everything we can not to make mistakes and to help you to avoid making mistakes in the published articles. So once your paper has been through peer review, it can either be accepted or rejected, or you can be asked for revisions. I've never heard anyone complaining about having a paper accepted. Most people, including myself, are usually unhappy about a paper being rejected. I'll just deal with that quickly for a start. I would strongly urge you to keep in your mind that a rejection should be the start of the next submission. Don't be broken or too cowed by rejection. There's always somewhere where you can get your paper published, and you may well have had some good advice from the review process which you can incorporate into your paper before you put it somewhere else. There are appeal processes in journals whereby you can appeal against a review decision if you feel it's gone against you for the wrong reasons. I think you really have to be very sure that it has before you institute these proceedings, and generally I would strongly discourage people from doing that. The decisions rarely end up in your favour, and what you've done usually is wasted a great deal of your time when you could have been getting on with revising the paper and putting it somewhere else. However, some decisions are upheld, but again I think you have to be very sure of your ground before you appeal against a review decision, and it has to be on a very technical point, not on a difference of views. For the middle road, which is very common, where you're asked for revisions, some journals divide these into major or minor divisions, that's a fairly artificial distinction these days, there are ways of dealing with reviewers' comments, and I can't do better than point you to a paper by Howell Williams, published in 2004, called How to Reply to Referees' Comments, and published in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology. And Williams gives his three golden rules here for dealing with reviewers, and I completely agree with these both as an editor and as an author. Rule 1, answer completely. Rule 2, answer politely. And Rule 3, answer with evidence. So answer completely means that you should deal with every point that's been raised by the reviewers and possibly additional comments by the editor. The bottom line, if you like, here is never to ignore a point if you feel you can't deal with it. You have to address it, and if you can't deal with it, if you can't make the change, then you have to explain why. And I would strongly advise people, in whatever format the review comes back, sometimes you get a list of points, sometimes it's a narrative, and sometimes you get instructions to do this, but I would, whatever the circumstances, try to pull out a list, a numbered list from the comments, put them in a table with a column, with a number, a column for the actual comment made by the reviewer or the editor, and then a comment for your answer, and a column for the page on which you've answered it, and deal with every point that way. And if the journal allows you to, if it doesn't say otherwise, I would strongly encourage you to make the changes in red font, and then people can see exactly where the changes have been made. Don't use tracking and don't use comments. These are an irritation to reviewers and to editors. We may well use them when we put papers back to you, but please take them out before you return the paper. Some journals, however, don't like you using any kind of red font or any kind of indication, so do follow whatever instructions the journal gives you. So that's rule 1, answer completely. Rule 2, answer politely. Don't ever say, who on earth is this reviewer, or we completely disagree with this point, this is silly. Comments like that, it really doesn't help and will not endear you to the editor or to the reviewer. You have to be dispassionate about it and deal with the point. And finally, of course, these points are all interrelated, answer with evidence, and that's particularly true of points where you may disagree with the reviewer. If you disagree, you have to say why, and you have to provide evidence of why that may be the case. Now, there's never a guarantee of acceptance at any stage of the publication process, let alone at the stage of revision, but I can guarantee that you will severely maximise your chances if you follow these rules and severely minimise them if you don't. It's nearly always the case that if you follow these rules, completeness, politeness and answering with evidence, that you will have your paper accepted. Some journals will allow you to undergo other revisions. Some journals, where we're more tight for space, like the Journal of Advanced Nursing, really hope that you will deal with them in one round. So really try to be complete. If there's anything that's not dealt with, we would tend at that stage, simply because of pressure of space and the time it might take to get your paper published, we might tend to reject at that stage. So I hope that's been a useful overview of the review system. Again, I'd emphasise it's not perfect. At the Journal of Advanced Nursing, we use a double-blind peer review system. Again, that's not perfect, but it's probably about as good as we can make it. Remember the three rules, and remember to address every point politely and with evidence. Thank you very much for listening.